Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, April 16, 2022. Viewpoints. Prevention key in fight against child abuse. Putting our focus solely on reactive end of social services won't solve foster care crisis. By Andrea Sparks. Texas, Buckner International. The Texas foster care system is in crisis, and while there is a mountain of work to do from the top down, we must also remember our obligation to protect children extends before they ever enter the system. Think about the last time you saw a group of children playing together, whether at school, church, or a park. There is nothing more joyous than children caught up in their own games of make-believe. Now consider this statistic from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. At least 1 in 7 children have experienced child abuse and/or neglect in the past year. 1 in 7. Suddenly, the memory of those children becomes heartbreaking as you wonder which child needs your help and what you can even do. Most of us have heard of the starfish story. An elderly man walks along the beach and sees a boy throwing washed-up starfish back into the ocean, one at a time, to save them. The man points out there are hundreds of starfish on miles of beach, and the boy's actions can't possibly make a difference. The boy then picks up another starfish and tosses it into the ocean, telling the man, "I made a difference for that one." I love the lesson that everyone can make a difference, even if it's one act of kindness at a time. But after a career of building systems, services, and advocacy programs for young survivors of abuse, neglect, and exploitation, I grew weary of working solely on the reactive end of social services. Each April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and too often we focus on the words child abuse and less on the prevention. The Awareness Month is meant to highlight both the tragedies as well as the preventative solutions, like comprehensive policies and investments in family preservation and strengthening. That is why I took a job in state government relations with nonprofit Buckner International to advocate for those preventative solutions. Rescuing a child is not as easy as rescuing a starfish. In fact, even rescuing a starfish isn't as simple as the parable alludes. For starters, starfish aren't even fish. They are echinoderms, more properly called sea stars. Throwing sea stars back into the ocean may or may not help them in the short or long run. Human touch can injure their delicate frame, and the bacteria, oils, and chemicals, like sunscreen on our skin, can kill them. And, once tossed back in, weather patterns or dredging activity can bring them ashore again. Like sea stars washing up on the shore, the causes of and solutions to child abuse, neglect, and exploitation are complicated and require more than a one-by-one rescue approach. Child maltreatment requires us to go deeper, to learn about the entire ecosystem children and families live in, to immerse ourselves in those communities to address the causes that can lead to child maltreatment and bring evidence-based solutions to those issues before and after abuse and neglect occurs. And to do this not on our own, but collaboratively, together with the families and communities we serve. For 143 years, Buckner has served abused and neglected children across Texas. During that time, there were two key evolutions in programs. The first came when Buckner transitioned from residential care to community-based foster care and adoption, because children belong in families. The second was to move beyond reactive services and offer preventative family preservation programs, like our 8 Buckner Family Hope Centers across Texas. research-based programs are designed in increasing levels of intensity to engage, equip, and elevate families. Services are provided to increase the proven protective factors all families need: parental resilience, social connections, knowledge of parenting and child development, concrete support in times of need, and social-emotional competence of children. Buckner is committed to expanding and enhancing the Family Hope Center model in Texas and beyond, and to add evidence-based family preservation services that meet the goal of the Families First Prevention Services Act, as well as the state of Texas, the goal to keep children safe with their own families. I'm grateful for all the selfless individuals who are trying to help the individual sea stars back into the ocean, and I am also grateful to be part of an organization that is willing to go deeper toward collaborative, sustainable, and transformational improvements for our families and communities. During this Child Abuse Prevention Month, I urge policymakers, budget writers, and public and private investors to go upstream, look deeper, get to know the families and communities you want to serve, and start investing in evidence-based solutions that protect children, strengthen families, and transform generations. Andrea Sparks is the Director of Government Relations in Texas for nonprofit Buckner International. She previously served as the founding director of the Texas Governor's Child Sex Trafficking Team, the executive director of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's Texas Regional Office, and the director of public affairs for Texas CASA, court-appointed special advocates. Don't Shutter MC Program. Area sorely needs more aviation maintenance technology professionals. By Adam James, aviation company manager. The reality of the Midland College Aviation Maintenance Technology Program closure has recently been brought to my attention. I have heard rumors of it over the last year or so, but did not realize how close to permanent this decision has become. I graduated from the program in 2013 and obtained my FAA A&P license through resources provided solely from the dedicated instructors at Midland College. Without this program, my career would be nothing close to what it has become today. I owe a great debt and gratitude to the people that this program introduced into my life. The aviation industry has been struggling recently, especially over the last 2 years. The need for qualified mechanics is growing, and without economic options, like Midland College AMT program, for individuals to gain the qualification needed to join this industry, aviation will be left with few options in the future. I am currently managing Air King Aviation Services, a local aviation company here in Midland. We provide maintenance for small general aviation aircraft, corporate turbine aircraft, as well as the commercial airlines, the ones that families like yours travel on. I have experienced the shortage firsthand. My need for licensed mechanics is growing every day, and the number of individuals in the area qualified to do this work is growing smaller and smaller. With the closure of this program, there is even less hope for improvement in the future. I grew up in Midland, graduated from a local high school, and pursued a career in aviation, not only because it was a passion of mine, but because Midland College offered exactly what I was looking for. I don't think I need to explain the difficulty in convincing people that Midland is a place that they should call home. It is difficult enough as it is to compete financially with the larger aviation companies in the Dallas and Houston areas. That is why this program is so important to local aviation companies. We need employees that are rooted in Midland. 90% of my workforce grew up in this area, just like I did, and most of us went through the program at Midland College. The need for this program is real, and I cannot let this closure happen without voicing my opinion. I have seen other programs like this and worked with people that went to other schools. The dedication and the true sense of passion that you feel from the instructors is something that can't be replaced. The level of knowledge that the students leave with is a perfect foundation for rapid growth in this industry. It would be such a shame to see a program like this come to an end. I hope this letter finds its way to the hands of someone that can disrupt this end to a great resource this community is about to lose.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, April 17th. This is the Other Voices page. This section is called Guest Views. This column is entitled, Be a Part of the Future for ECISD, by Lisa Wyman. Lisa Wyman is the Vice Chair of Odessans for Education. The Clanging Cymbal. Rather than an opportunity for thoughtful discourse, the world has become about who can shout the loudest, regardless of accuracy of which they shout. This is not true of everyone, but every day we see this type of activity, and it is a trap into which we may fall if we aren't vigilant. As we approach the ECISD bond vote, the clanging cymbal can be heard. The question for each of us is, do we diligently work to gather good information, or do we merely join the fray? Ask great questions. Expect great answers. Good question. How many students attend New Tech Odessa? Great question. How is the New Tech Odessa campus being utilized? While enrollment at NTOHS is 440, there are 715 career and technology education students who circulate through that facility daily. That first data point fits a disruptive narrative. The latter provides factual data, creating a clearer picture of how the district is utilizing facilities. Seek to understand. The discussion of a third high school is passionate, as it should be. Rather than asking if it is needed or where to locate it, the bigger question is, what happens if we don't build one? Overcrowding increases discipline issues and maintenance needs, at the same time decreasing building efficiency and student opportunities. Another high school means another debate team, choir program, drama club, etc. Right-sizing our current campuses allows for increased student engagement and higher teacher-to-student ratio. When we make the argument against a new high school, based on our personal preference or because we disagree with the district, we still have overcrowding, floating teachers, limited student engagement opportunities, and so much more. I would ask, how does this serve our kids and our community? Hold ourselves and others accountable. ECISD does not live in a vacuum, nor should it. As a community, we rise and fall with our schools. That's why valuing education from PK to career is so important. It creates opportunity and choices. It's easy to be a clanging cymbal. It takes time and energy to ask great questions, go to the source, and seek to understand and hold ourselves and others accountable. To take a stand, we must make certain we are basing our thoughts and ideas on a firm foundation rooted on facts. We don't have to agree. However, we owe it to ourselves to do the work. The propositions which will appear on the ballot were hard-fought, with those involved evaluating the needs not from a personal perspective, but for the good of the whole. We can be the disruptor, point fingers and blame, or we can be part of the solution. It's time to double down for our future. This section is called Guest Views. This column is entitled, "We Can't Afford This Bond Issue." Regarding the bond issue, Proposition B for the new high school, there will be two new high schools eventually. The Westside High School was dropped out of including it in this bond issue because the cost of it might make the Eastside High School bond issue fail. I am sure the strategy is to pass this Eastside High School Proposition B now, build it, then split up the Permian population with the new one. There will be soon a new, different, smaller bond issue for the Westside New High School. The OHS population will then be split up with that new one. All four will be 6A schools. My property valuation for tax purposes has been raised $54,000 in 5 years. I shudder to think what it will be with hundreds of millions in new fixed spending. I feel for the businesses that have to pay the new taxes. They will have to pass on the tax to their customers, inflation, while the homeowner cannot. Homeowners cannot do this. They have to pay it out of their paycheck. The annual cost of the proposed bond issues and operating two new high schools will have to be paid out of tax money, either through budget increases or the blank checks of the TRE. I can't afford it. Can you? Signed, Jimmy Edwards, Odessa. This section is called Guest Views. This column is entitled Vote for the Future of Our Children. I am writing this letter to ask every eligible voter to come out and vote for the future of Odessa by supporting the ECISD bond election. Because of the explosion in social media platforms and the ability to give misinformation by hiding behind anonymous name tags, that old axiom of, quote, "we are in a period of being over-informed and under-enlightened," unquote, has never been more true. So, in full disclosure, I have lived in Odessa for 26 years, am the first in my family to graduate from high school and college, so I know firsthand the value of a good education. I served on the Tax Ratification Election, TRE, Support Committee, the committee to elect Chris Stanley to the school board, and am currently serving on the ECISD Bond Support Committee. This bond is being driven by three things: a nonpartisan survey authorized by Opportunity Odessa that determined of the 12 priorities identified for Odessa, education and supporting ECISD was number one. A survey commissioned by ECISD to determine what the most pressing needs and how large a bond would the community support, and the results of a system-wide review of facility needs that was done in 2018 and preceded the TRE. The facilities review was done by a firm of consultants from outside Odessa. The surveys were also done by respected polling firms from outside the area to determine the community's response to what the future should look like. These were opinion research polls and not a push poll, so I believe they accurately reflect the desires of the community. As a member of the TRE and Bond Group, I reviewed the results of the reports and visited many of our schools and saw firsthand the need for facility improvements that make up this bond issue. I visited the CTE facilities and can say without hesitation how badly we need new facilities to support the growing need for IT technicians, welders, plumbers, mechanics to service our expanding workforce, especially in the clean energy and fossil fuel industries. It is anticipated we will need 50,000 more skilled workers by 2050 than we have now. And where are they going to come from if not from our schools? A recent DOE report stated that in addition to all the clean energy we can provide, by 2050, due to worldwide population increases, we will need 43% more fossil fuel than is currently being produced. Much of it will need to come from the Permian Basin. There has been a lot of talk about past bond issues and the use of funds and a distrust of the leadership of the school district. Have there been problems and mismanagement in the past? Yes. However, that is not true today. The past three superintendents have worked extremely hard to rebuild trust in the community. Former interim superintendent and TEA director Jim Nelson addressed the issue head-on as part of the TRE by having a community oversight committee formed to review the district's spending of the funds. There will also be an oversight committee as part of this bond election. Regarding fiscal management, the district for the past several years has received the highest rating given by the TEA for fiscal management. Through good management, the board has been able to pay off early some previous bond issues, saving the district taxpayers over $19 million, resulting in a bond rating of A+, which will make the bonds for this election much more attractive and easy to sell. If you have visited either Permian or Odessa High, you will know that the need for a third comprehensive high school is evident. There is no more room for portable classrooms, and over 38 teachers are currently without classrooms. In addition to reducing the overcrowding, it will give more students the opportunity to participate in extracurricular activities and become better students. Overcrowding is both a safety and a learning issue. Regarding the tax increase, if the propositions pass, as long as the state of Texas uses property taxes to fund schools, taxes will continue to go up, except for those who are over 65 and have a homestead exemption. Your school taxes are frozen. However, even with the increase, our taxes will be lower than most districts in the state with similar school populations. Are our schools perfect? No. But they are moving in the right direction under the leadership of Dr. Murray and his staff. Standards, in some cases, are performing better than state averages. Finally, if you have concerns, I urge you to ask questions. Visit the schools to see the conditions they are in. Have a member of the bond committee make a presentation to a group you belong to. The bond is not about just today, but the future. ECISD is entering its second 100 years with the majority of its facilities over 50 years old, with the need for upgrades to bring them into the 21st century. Regardless of your political beliefs, I hope every reader of this letter will vote to support the children of Odessa by voting yes to Propositions A and B. Signed, Charles Cotton, Odessa.
Cannabis can be a pain management tool. Dear Dr. Roach, would you please offer your take on the situation regarding pain management and opioid use? I suffer from chronic pain due in part to degenerative disc disease and stenosis. Combined with neuropathy, severe arthritis, and fibromyalgia, this has rendered me unable to work or even perform the most basic tasks like walking, standing more than a few minutes, or anything requiring bending, lifting, or the like. I had to retire early because I could no longer work effectively. I was put in the care of a pain management expert who was liberal with the meds, but I wanted to keep their use to a minimum. So I applied for and received a medical marijuana card and began limited use, mainly at night, to help me sleep. The idea in my mind was to not keep increasing my opioid dose and use a more benign natural method. Answer: I can't help you understand their stance because I don't agree with it. The data on cannabis for chronic pain is mixed, but most studies have shown modest benefit for chronic pain and sleep. Like all treatments, there are adverse effects, but as you say, severe side effects are uncommon, especially considering the risks of chronic opiate use. Most pain experts who prescribe cannabis do so in order to reduce the use of opiates. The critical issue is that it seems to be working for you. I can't agree with you that medical use of cannabis is always a good thing. I certainly have had patients who have not had good responses. The long-term data on cannabis use for chronic pain is nearly non-existent. The barriers to studying cannabis in this country are high, so we don't really have good evidence to guide us. Without good data, we are left with clinical judgment and hopefully a sense of empathy that your doctors seem to be utterly lacking in. Roach's column appears Tuesday through Saturdays. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Friendship derailed over pandemic-era preferences. Dear Abby for Friday. Dear Abby, a dear friend of many years is currently not speaking to me. She recently moved from California to Denver and had invited me to visit. We agreed on the dates and I took time off work and booked the flights. Less than 2 weeks before my arrival, she abruptly canceled the visit, expressing no regrets or concern for whether I would be able to get a refund from the airline. She indicated that because I was not comfortable with the recently lifted mask mandates and other COVID precautions in her state, and preferred to continue to avoid indoor dining, bars, etc., that she wanted to postpone for a few months, when we might be able to enjoy more activities. When I expressed hurt feelings at being disinvited, she became angry and ceased communication. Is this friendship over? How should I proceed? Risk averse in the West. Dear risk averse, I am not sure why your friend became angry and canceled your visit, unless she had planned activities that would take place in restaurants, theaters, etc. I am also puzzled that she should end a friendship of many years over it. Because this is recent, give her a little more time to cool off. Then extend an olive branch and see if she has put this unfortunate episode in perspective. Dear Abby, I have a former colleague whose company I enjoyed while I was working with him. He thought highly of my work ethic and we worked well together. Because of this, he has asked me to be a professional reference for him sporadically over the years, which I always happily agreed to. The problem is we haven't worked together in 6 years. Because it has been so long, I no longer feel as though I'm a good reference for him. I also worry that recruiters will wonder why I was chosen after all this time. He reaches out to me only for reference requests, so it's not as though I'm damaging a long-term friendship, but I still care about him and his feelings. How can I politely decline his future requests? Reluctant reference. Dear Reluctant, in recent years, the amount of information that can be shared about former employees and colleagues is quite restricted. I believe it's limited to the dates you worked together. However, because you no longer wish to be a reference, you will have to bite the bullet and be honest about your feelings and the reason why. Dear Abby, the wife of a married couple my wife and I are friends with revealed a few years ago that before she met her husband, she had an affair that produced a child she immediately placed for adoption. This was 40 years ago. It surprised us all, including her husband. I believe she should have told her husband before they married. My wife says because it was before she met him, it was none of his business. Well, now it is his business because through DNA ancestry sites, this child is now in his life, which has become an embarrassment for him. What do you think? His business in the East. Dear His Business, I think you should mind your own beeswax and stay resolutely out of his family business.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.